We shall be reading Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 35. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went to them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they said, and they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn with us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together." Verse 34, and that is our focus verse. What are they saying now? These men who were sad, verse 34, they are saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Thus far we read the word of God. Amen. We are focusing in verse 34, and I want us to reflect on these words, "The Lord has risen. Listen to the emphasis, indeed. This tells you a lot. Initially, they did not believe. Now, they believe. We talk about weather. We discuss sports, politics, religion. And we can go on and on and on. And usually, it is from a distance because we are not well taught. And so unless some expert teaches us, it all remains hearsay. We talk because others are talking. Jesus doesn't want us to talk about him from a distance. Hence, he reveals himself through the scriptures. That's what he's doing to these men on their way to Emmaus. They are talking about Jesus simply because others are talking. But they have not yet experienced him, and they have not yet come to believe in him. There were two men talking about what had happened to Jesus of Nazareth. But the question is, did they believe in him? Did they believe in what the scriptures teach concerning the Messiah? Many had forgotten his teaching, that he would have to suffer death, be killed, then rise. The resurrection of Christ is an important teaching in the Christian faith. All the four gospel writers narrate this bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what happened? We all know. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the Bible says, devout women went to the tomb of Jesus, and they had with them spices, and their aim was to go and to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. This was a common practice, to anoint bodies. It was for the purposes of minimizing decomposition, the smell of decomposition. Remember, they did not bury people in the ground as we do, but they placed them in the tomb. And so to minimize the odor or the smell of decomposition, they anointed the bodies with spices. And so these women are going to the tomb, and they want to pay this respect and to anoint the body of Jesus. And on their way, they are worried, but who is going to roll away the stone for us? To their surprise, the tomb was open. And his body, they did not find. And so they heard the voice. The angel is speaking to them. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. Remember what he said. They forgot. Luke 24, 5-7. They are being reminded. Remember what he taught you. Matthew again tells us something. You know, an angel is speaking to these women. Do not be afraid. Matthew 28, verse 5-7. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. But let me tell you something about this Jesus. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Like Luke is saying, remember. The angel is saying, come see the place where he lay. He's no longer here. After you have come and after you have seen, so what? Verse 7. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. The angel is saying, I have done my duty. I have told you that he is not a dead man anymore. He is risen. Go therefore and tell his disciples this good news." The followers of Jesus didn't only forget the teaching, but exhibit disbelief. That after suffering and dying on the third day, he will rise again. They have the scriptures. They seem not to believe. The two men did not believe what the scriptures teach concerning the Messiah. Let alone, they did not believe the witness of the women that he had risen. Until Jesus had revealed himself to them, all they knew is that he was killed and that now his body is missing on the third day. Consequently, they were sad, according to verse 17. Their hope of the Messiah to redeem Israel was shattered, according to verse 21. But what about you and I today? Do we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus? And if we believe, what are we doing about it? It's very easy to say, yes, I believe that he rose again from the dead. Now, the following question is, what are you doing about it? And so I want us to look at this theme. The Lord has risen indeed. So what? It becomes clear. Remember, the angel is saying, come see where he lay. Then go quickly and tell. And the same message is very true to you and I. If we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, we shall stand up passionately and declare these things. We are going to witness that indeed there is hope, that indeed there is forgiveness of sin, for the Savior has risen. The Lord has risen indeed. That's what we find in verse 34. Indeed. I want us to look at these men who are sad. The Bible says these men are sad, according to verse 17. And then, you know, when men are sad, you would almost say, but they're mourning, they're crying, they loved Jesus, and so they're mourning. But Jesus confronts them, and you'd realize that he's rebuking them, according to the scriptures. And finally, these men are then going to be witnessing Jesus after they have been confronted. And so to begin with, let us see these men that are sad. Why are they sad? Verse 17 tells us these men are looking sad. These two men were coming from Jerusalem after Passover. They were going home to the village called Emmaus. And on their way, they were discussing, they were exchanging views, they were exchanging their feelings, they were commenting on what had happened in Jerusalem, on what had happened to Jesus. Then Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but they did not recognize him. They didn't recognize him partly because he was in a different form. Mark tells us, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 12, he had taken another form. But they also did not recognize him partly because they did not believe that he had risen from the dead. All they knew is he died and his body is missing. But again, they did not believe. And they did not recognize him, partly because, Luke is telling us, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Yes, he walked with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Luke 24, verse 16. So they walked with him, but merely as a fellow traveler, as a stranger. Then he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding? What are you talking about? The two men stood still, the Bible says in verse 17, looking sad. Why? Why are they sad? Sad indeed. And listen to how one of them responds to Jesus when he says, what is this conversation you're having? They are sad indeed. How do they respond? Cleopas says, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that had happened there in these days? Everybody knows about what happened. Are you the only one? From this response, it is clear that Jesus' ministry and death was well known to everyone in Jerusalem and the surrounding nations. It was not a hidden ministry. It was well known to everyone. And in the same way, his resurrection is going to go viral. The man who died has risen. The men were sad because the chief priests and rulers condemned Jesus to death. Worse still, on the third day, his body is missing. These men are saying to this stranger they're walking with, they're saying, you know, our women reported that his body was not in the tomb. It has been reported to us, but we don't believe it. To these men, an empty tomb had become a sign of hopelessness, according to verse 21. They are saying, we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel, but he's gone. Consequently, they were sad. We could even say that they were mourning. If someone is mourning, if someone is sad, someone has a funeral, what do you expect? What kind of words do you expect to be given to such people? Nice words, right? Is it what Jesus is doing? Jesus rebukes them. When you are mourning, you hardly expect rebuke, but to be comforted, to be told it has happened, and it happens, and it shall be fine. Be strong. It will be okay. On the contrary, Jesus does not entertain mediocrity. What does he say? Oh, foolish ones. Slow of heart to believe. These things shouldn't be strange to you. Why? Because remember the prophets, what they have spoken. He says, was it not necessary that the Christ must suffer these things and then enter into his glory? He must first suffer, then be glorified. Now, most Jews anticipated a Messiah who would especially free them from Roman oppression. And not one who suffers, not one who goes to the cross, not one who dies. That was not their expectation of the Messiah. Up to so far, these two men didn't believe that Jesus of Nazareth, who suffered and died, would indeed rise on the third day. If only they were quick to believe the scriptures, they would not be sad. They would be rejoicing. Their hearts are going to be filled with joy, believing that he has brought redemption. But they were slow to believe. They were slow to believe what the scriptures teach. They were slow to believe what Christ had taught them. And so to them, hope was gone. That's why they are sad. Verse 21, they are saying, we had hope that would be the one to redeem Israel. What does it mean to redeem? To redeem means to set free, not for Mahara, but at a cost. And in this case, it was at the cost of the suffering and the death of Jesus. In Luke 9, verse 22, Jesus foretells his death and he is saying, this is how I am going to work redemption. This is how I'm going to save you. I'm going to free you from the bondage of sin, not for Mahala, but at the cost of my suffering, at the cost of me going to the cross, dying, then I will rise. Listen to Luke 9:22. The Son of Man, this is the teaching that he had given them, but they quickly forgot. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day, raised. In the same vein, the writer to the Hebrews says, "For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering." How is he going to make them perfect, acceptable before God? Through suffering, the writer of the Hebrews say. Hebrews 2:10. "Indeed, they were foolish and slow of heart to believe the teaching of the scriptures." It was everywhere in the pages of the Bible. They forgot. Slow to believe. His suffering, death, and resurrection should not make us sad. It should not shatter our hope for redemption. It is rather means through which the Messiah works salvation for those who would believe in him. These men hoped that Jesus would set them free from Roman oppression, yet Jesus chiefly came to set them free from the oppression of the evil one. Clearly, they had a wrong perception of the Messiah. What is your perception of Jesus this morning? It's very easy to talk about these men. They had a wrong perception of the Messiah. What is your perception of Jesus today? Do you perceive him as a blesser? Oh, come to Jesus, he's going to give you all these things you want. Isn't that the kind of message we hear? Whatever you want and whenever you want it, name it and claim it. Come to Jesus. Wrong perception of the Messiah. Are you talking about him but from a distance, or you have truly come to experience him and that you believe that indeed he died, he rose, and that he has reconciled us with God his Father? Do you believe that Jesus' death, resurrection, was for your redemption? That he didn't deserve it, but that it was all for you and I? That if we believe in him, we shouldn't perish but have eternal life? First, it is to say, yes, I believe in the body resurrection of Jesus. And the question is, what are you doing about it? A lot of people say, yes, I believe he rose again from the dead. But then the question, what are you doing about it? What did the women do? What did these two men do? And this is a crucial point. Believe Jesus to have risen indeed. Like these men are saying, indeed. Jesus' rebuke and teaching, the scriptures yielded positive results. The two men were initially looking sad and were talking about Jesus but from a distance. But when he appeared to them, they personally experienced the Messiah. Then they believed and began to witness. If you say you believe in the body resurrection of Jesus, are you witnessing him? Remember that Jesus first appeared to the women who went to witness to the 11 apostles and to all the rest. But Their witness that Jesus has risen seemed to them an idle tale. The Bible says they did not believe that he has risen. Luke 24, verse 11, Mark 16, verse 11, they didn't believe the women. We were there this morning. We found the stone rolled away. The angel spoke to us, come see where he lay. And he was not there. The Bible says they did not believe them. And you see, during this time, the witness of women was not easily believed. These are emotional people. They can easily cry. They can easily believe anything. Well, if you can't believe the women, you can believe the men on their way to Emmaus, because Christ also appeared to them. And when he revealed himself to them, now they became passionate witnesses of Jesus Christ. Here we find the problem of disbelief. They had the scriptures detailing that the Messiah will have to suffer in order to redeem his own people. But even when events are unfolding, they are so slow to believe. They forgot Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. What do we find there? I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, listen carefully, and you shall bruise his heel. The offspring of the woman, the seed, Christ Jesus, will be bruised. His heel shall be bruised. It's a message of suffering, isn't it? I forgot about that. They forgot Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? This was prophecy, the message of suffering. It was all gone. They forgot that. They also were slow to believe the prophecy of Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 5. Listen to what it says here. This is the prophecy. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom many hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Gone. He faced us to suffer in order to bring us to glory. Forgot that. You see, not only the two men, but the 11 disciples and all others were indeed slow to believe. They didn't believe the witness of women at once. Hence Christ says, foolish ones, slow to believe. The Bible says that same day, Jesus appeared to the two men on their way to Emmaus. That same day, which same day is this? The day of resurrection. Very early in the morning, that same day, he also appeared. So yes, Christ appeared to the women. That same day, he also appeared to the men. If you can't believe the witness of women, well, again, he has appeared to the men. How did Jesus reveal himself to these men? Very interestingly, you know, at first they did not realize who he was because their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Then Jesus acted as though he was proceeding. They said, it is dangerous, please stay with us. The day is far spent. Well, Christ was a guest. You expect these owners of the house to dish food to Jesus. Instead, he was the one breaking the bread and feeding them. Then they realized this is not an ordinary person. This is the Messiah. And so he broke the bread and blessed it. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished.
Now the two men believed.
Are they folding their hands?
No.
These are the men who said to Jesus, it is dangerous, you cannot proceed, it's late, the day is far spent. What are they doing now? They're taking a journey back to Jerusalem to witness to the 11 and to the rest that he has risen indeed. He has appeared to us. We have walked with him. He has taught us the scriptures. He has reminded us all these things. He has fed us. He is alive. Brothers and sisters, this changes the whole narrative. These are the men who were sad, remember. Now they are no longer sad. Now they have boldness. Now they have courage to stand up and to witness. And they're saying, he has risen indeed. Believers, we've spoken to him. He's fed us. It changes the whole narrative. It means that there is hope for Israel. Remember verse 21? We had hoped. Oh, now it is not in the past tense. We are hoping. He is indeed the one who is going to redeem Israel. It means that there is hope. It means that there is salvation for all those who believe in Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, the doctrine of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is crucial. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then Christians worship a dead and defeated man. If Jesus did not bodily rise from the dead, it means we are worshiping a dead and defeated man. If he did not rise, then there is no hope. Then there is no redemption. Then there is no freedom from slavery of sin. It means then there is no life after death. If he didn't rise, it means the devil has won the battle. But on the third day, we find this good news. Women witnessing an empty tomb. And the two men witnessed his resurrection. Jesus walked with us. Jesus spoke to us. Jesus fed us. He is alive. It's not that his body has been stolen. He is alive. He's appearing to his disciples. And even this time, it's a time when we remember his death, his resurrection, and his appearing to his disciples. He is making witnesses of all ages that he is alive. The message is that there is hope. The message is that there is forgiveness of sin. The message that there is reconciliation with God, his Father. Dear friends, genuine faith in Jesus is active. These men were initially sad, complaining, and disappointed, but now they are filled with joy and fresh energy to witness. Remember also the women. It was the same thing. When they saw that the tomb was open, the Bible says they were afraid. They were filled with fear and great joy after they realized to say, wow, actually, he is alive. And so what are they doing? They went back to the city to tell, to witness. The two men also, that very hour, the Bible says, they did not care it was dark or dangerous. They returned to Jerusalem and witnessed to the 11 and to the disciples that the Lord has risen indeed. This is good news. There is hope. There is redemption for all those who believe in Jesus Christ. What does an empty tomb mean to you and I today? It shouldn't bring sadness. It shouldn't mean hopelessness. Instead, it must excite you, for there is hope, for there is redemption, there is reconciliation. The evil one has been defeated. Therefore, if we believe in Jesus' bodily resurrection, let us zealously witness, telling the world that he has risen indeed. Is that your message? Or you are this Christian, but who can't boldly witness Christ? He has defeated the enemy of death and has reconciled us to God, his Father. Don't doubt. Believe what he has done for you. If indeed you believe, you will witness this good news. In conclusion, my dear brothers and sisters, don't doubt. Don't speak about Jesus, but from a distance. You see, Jesus does not want us to talk about him from a distance. What happened 2,000 years ago? He wants us to experience him by believing his works, that he suffered, that he came to carry our curse. That yet, yes, he went to the cross. He died the death which was not his. That if we believe in him, we would not perish but have eternal life. The Messiah suffered, but it was all for you and I. Like Isaiah 53 puts it, he was punished, he was flogged. It was all for you and I. That if we believe today, we would have life. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. And all those who believe in him, yes, there is glory, there is resurrection, there is unity with God the Father. His resurrection is a sign of hope. And so when we celebrate Easter, yes, we are people that are filled with joy because the Savior has indeed worked redemption. Do you see your theological training as means to better witness Jesus? Or one day I want to become a pastor in a salad. Do you see this time as time of being equipped to better witness Christ and to say, he has risen indeed. Indeed. I am not saying this because others are saying it. I have personally encountered Christ and I stand in a better position to witness that he has risen indeed. This must be a personal thing. Not I'm saying because others are saying it. But I'm saying because he has appeared to me. I'm saying because I've come to believe. I'm saying because I've come to test him that he is indeed the Redeemer. He is indeed the only one who reconciles me to God the Father. And it's that message that we ought to carry to the rest of the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray?